You can tell by the tone of our scripture readings today that one liturgical year is about to end and a new liturgical year is about to begin. In fact, the season of Advent will begin 2 weeks from now on Sunday, November 28th. And each year during this time of transition, our scripture readings at Mass turn to what is often called the four last things. Those four last things are death and judgment and heaven and hell. Today, for example, in our first reading from the book of the prophet Daniel, the sacred author foretells a time of great distress when the archangel Michael will be sent out upon the earth and the dead who lie in the grave will be raised for judgment by our God. In the gospel, our Lord himself prophesies that on that day he will return in glory, accompanied by the angels, and he will judge every human person according to his or her deeds. Here in our own church, we have a permanent reminder of the four last things and the small windows that are located in the two transepts of our church. On the east side of the church, near the Marian altar, we have two windows that depict death and judgment. And on the west side, near St. Joseph's altar, two windows which depict heaven and hell. Today, however, I would like to reflect with you on a state of being that is not precisely one of the four last things, but which is closely related to them. And I'm speaking about purgatory. Purgatory is a state of being that occurs for many souls after death and judgment, but before they are admitted to heaven. And because it is a temporal state of being, it is not eternal in nature like heaven and hell. Having said that, purgatory is an essential part of many people's journey to heaven, and the souls who are in purgatory are an integral part of the communion of saints. During the month of November especially, the Church invites us to pray for the souls in purgatory and to offer sacrifice for them. Indeed, reflecting on the state of the souls in purgatory can also help us to comprehend the meaning of our own earthly journey to God. To understand what purgatory is, we might begin with the definition given to us in the Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 1030. There the Catechism says, "All who die in God's friendship, but who are still imperfectly purified, are indeed assured of their eternal salvation. But after death, they must undergo a time of purification so as to achieve the holiness necessary to enter the joy of heaven." That one statement expresses a number of important truths. First of all, in referring to purgatory, the Catechism speaks about those who die in God's friendship, which is another way of saying in the state of grace. In other words, these are people who accepted God's offer of salvation in Jesus Christ in the course of their earthly lives, and who have already been judged by God as being destined for heaven. And yet at the time of their death, they were still imperfectly purified, meaning that at the conclusion of their earthly lives, they still retained some residual attachment to sin, an attachment that must be removed or purged before they can enter into the perfect communion with God that we call heaven. I'm sure we've all known people who have died, whom we think of as having been entirely cleansed and ready for God at the moment of death. I can think back, for example, to a little boy of 11 named Jamie, who went with me and a group of pilgrims to Medjugorje more than 30 years ago. At the time, he was very ill with a brain tumor. But in the course of our pilgrimage, he received many special graces from God, and we received special graces through him. Shortly after we returned home, he died, a young, innocent soul. In my own mind, he seemed perfectly ready for God. But on the other hand, I'm sure that most of us have also known people who have died whom we hope and pray will go to heaven, but whom we think of as needing more time, more cleansing or purification before they are ready to see God face to face. You see, the church teaches that at the moment of our death, each of us will be judged by Christ. We call this the particular judgment. And in that moment, we will know whether we are destined to spend eternity with God in heaven or apart from Him in hell. In our own hearts, there will be no arguing or uncertainty on the day of judgment. I'm sure there may be some surprises, but we will accept the judgment of God as being perfectly just and true. And yet some of those who are judged as being worthy for heaven will not be entirely cleansed. My guess, based on my own human experience and the witness of many saints, is that most people who will one day go to heaven will first have to pass through purgatory. I certainly think that I will spend time there if I am so blessed as to be saved. And the reason for this is that we cannot behold the beatific vision of God and enjoy perfect communion with Him until every attachment to sin, no matter how small, has been entirely cleansed from our souls. If we were to bring any residual attachment to sins like anger or lust or dishonesty or unforgiveness into heaven with us, then heaven would not be heaven. And we ourselves would not be at peace there, nor would the other people there be at peace. For that matter, once having been judged by God, we would never want to defile the presence of God by our uncleanliness. We would want to be purified before accepting God's eternal embrace. And so the Lord, in His infinite mercy, through the merits of His Son, Jesus Christ, has provided a way for us to be entirely cleansed. And this is the state of being we call purgatory. There are many passages in Scripture that speak of this teaching, but three in particular come to mind. The first is found in the Old Testament in the second book of Maccabees, chapter 12, verse 46. There the sacred author describes how the Jewish military commander Judas Maccabeus offered a sacrifice of atonement for his own soldiers who had died in battle while wearing pagan amulets. In other words, they had given in to the sin of superstition and lack of faith in God. And their fellow soldiers prayed and offered sacrifice for their salvation. Secondly, in St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 25, Jesus Himself in the Sermon on the Mount counsels us to settle matters with God here and now, while there is still time to choose, time to repent. Otherwise, He says, you will be handed over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the jailer, and the jailer will cast you into prison. And you will not be released, our Lord says, until you have paid the last penny. The church has always interpreted this passage as a reference to purgatory, a time following death and judgment in which there will be some punishment and purification, and thus the analogy of a prison, but also an eventual time of release. We can also surmise from this passage that the experience of purgatory will not be exactly the same for everyone who goes there. The kind of purification which is required will be tailored to fit the need of every individual soul. Just as a prison sentence is fitted for each person who appears before the judge. And then thirdly, in the writings of St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 13 and following, Paul also speaks about the day of judgment, saying that some people will be saved, but only after they have fled as through fire. We've all seen videos of people fleeing wildfires out west. As their automobiles were surrounded by flames, they escaped death, but only by passing through fire. Just as someone might flee or be rescued from a house or building that is in flames. And so we speak about the purifying fire of purgatory. Scripture says the soul is purified by fire, just as gold is purified in the furnace. In closing, there are three points I would like to make about God's judgment and our spiritual journey to Him. First of all, none of us should ever take salvation for granted. God has given us a great and unmerited gift through His Son, Jesus Christ, namely the offer of salvation. But as we know, when someone gives us a gift, we have to choose to accept or to reject the gift. And so it is with God and with us. We have to choose whether to accept or reject our Father's love through Jesus Christ. Secondly, our present earthly life is a time of testing, of probation, a time when we say yes or no to the Lord. Once we die, the time of choosing is over. And when we are judged, we will learn our eternal destiny. And as I said, on that day, we will accept God's judgment as perfectly just. The souls in purgatory have already been judged. They have exercised their choice to spend eternity with God. They have no more desire for sin, and they can no longer be tempted. But because purgatory is a passive state of purification, the souls who are there depend on us for our prayers and our sacrifice, which speeds them along the way. And thus we sometimes call them the poor souls. And the final point flows from the first two. You and I are very privileged at the present moment, precisely because we can exercise our free will. We can choose to accomplish much of our purgatory, our purification here on earth, if we sincerely devote our lives to God and strive with all our hearts to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in extinguishing attachment to sin. But if we are complacent and lax about giving in to sin, if we reject God's grace, then we are digging a deep hole for ourselves during our earthly lives. And we risk either going to hell or having a very long and painful time in purgatory. But if we strive to love God and our neighbor, and to put all our trust in the Lord's mercy and in His love for us, if we sincerely try to know God, and especially if we make use of the sacrament of reconciliation to repent and ask forgiveness, then we can be confident of heaven, and our time in purgatory will be short and sweet. In this Mass, we pray for ourselves and our loved ones, and we pray for all the souls in purgatory. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.